message to Israel. Shalom Aleichem, peace be unto you. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. This is the voice of the message to Israel. Jewish leaders long before the Christian era saw in Psalm 110 clear prophecies of the Messiah. He would sit at God's right hand, serve as priest, shatter kings, and judge among the nations. The Hebrew scriptures indeed carried a message of hope, but also an implicit warning. These prophecies dare not be ignored. It is my privilege now to turn the microphone over to A.J. Overton, Message to Israel's Voice, for the current series of meditations on the Psalms. Mr. Overton.
Thank you, Mr. Spencer, and greetings, friends, in the name of the Lord Yeshua. Psalm 110 may well be called the gem of messianic prophecy. It is brief but comprehensive. The sweet psalmist of Israel, King David, presents in its two brief stanzas, for the first time in the Hebrew scriptures, a complete statement of the total ministry of Israel's Messiah, his dual office of king and priest. These blended figures bring before us the fuller truth concerning the Messiah or Anointed One. We quote Psalm 110 in its entirety. The Lord says to my Lord, "Sit at my right hand until I make thine enemies a footstool for my feet." The Lord will stretch forth thy strong scepter from Zion, saying, "Rule in the midst of thine enemies." Thy people will volunteer freely in the day of thy power. In holy array from the womb of the dawn, thy youth are to thee as the dew. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind, thou art a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. The Lord is at thy right hand. He will shatter kings in the day of his wrath. He will judge among the nations. He will fill them with corpses. He will shatter the chief men over a broad country. He will drink from the brook by the wayside. Therefore he will lift up his head. In brief review, we note that the first four verses of Psalm 110, stanza 1, describe the twofold office of the Messiah as both king and priest. The remaining three verses, stanza 2, depict Messiah's successful conflict with his enemies. David begins by quoting a divine oracle. "The Lord says to my Lord." David is speaking by the Spirit of God. The oracle revealed to King David that the Lord God of Israel himself appointed for the Messiah the position at his own right hand, "Sit at my right hand until I make thine enemies a footstool," announces the Messiah to be co-equal in position and authority with God himself. Thus the divine character of the Messiah is presented. The opening statement of Psalm 110 thus guarantees an unequaled position and victory to the Messiah of whom David speaks. The covenant God made with David stressed that the throne and kingdom of David's greater son was to be eternal in character. It is true, of course, that King David himself enjoyed certain privileges as God's chosen and favorite earthly ruler. The Hebrew expression for my Lord often indicates a human title of respect to authority. The title would allow either human or divine designation. The context is always important. It is also a startling and significant fact that David would refer to a king as my Lord, actually the master I serve. Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, pointed this out to the leaders of the Pharisees and Sadducees. He asked them a question, "What do you think of the Christ, that is the Messiah or Anointed One?" After they answered, "David's son," he quoted Psalm 110 to them. "How then doth David in the Spirit call him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool.' If David then called him Lord, How is he his son? The answer is clear. The Christ, or Messiah, is both David's son and David's Lord, for he is the God-man. Now God's oracle to David's Lord proclaims, "Sit at my right hand." The New Testament, or covenant, reminds us that God exalted him just as emphatically as men rejected him. Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree, God exalted at his right hand. He is there as Savior and intercessor for those who trust him. Christ, at the right hand of God, intercedes for us. He is seated as a symbol of a completed task. Every priest stands daily, offering repeatedly, but Christ sat down at the right hand of God. He is there until his enemies be made his footstool. Thus the oracle of Psalm 110 declares in the opening verse the divine person, power, and prospect of the Christ of our Messiah. He is exalted in glory as the mighty priest king. David now speaks directly concerning God's activities on behalf of the Messiah. The Lord will stretch forth thy strong scepter from Zion. The promise is that he will yet sit upon the throne of his father David. At his second advent, his authority will center and go out from Zion, the poetic title for Jerusalem, and all will be brought into submission to him. Another significant promise now appears. Thy people will volunteer freely in the day of thy power. Once he lamented over Jerusalem, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which are sent to thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, and ye would not." He then further declared, "Behold, your house is left unto you desolate, for I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." In that day of his power, a remnant in Israel will welcome him. In the days of Deborah and Barak, the people willingly offered themselves. And in the time of Nehemiah, they willingly offered themselves to dwell at Jerusalem. So it will be again. Those who set forth with him at that time will be clothed, David declares, in holy array, that is, arrayed in true righteousness and holiness. The climax of Psalm 110 comes in verse 4. The living God places himself under an irrevocable oath that Messiah is indeed a priest. Thou art a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. The scriptures speak of Melchizedek at three locations. We meet him first in the life of Abraham. He appears quite suddenly to bless Abraham and to receive tithes from him as priest of the Most High God. The important factor is that Melchizedek was both king of Salem and priest, thus combining royalty and priesthood. Now the kings of Israel were restricted in this. This is seen vividly when King Uzziah attempted to perform the office of the priesthood and God smote him. God had reserved that combination of the priestly mitre and the royal diadem for one purpose and for one person. The prophet Zechariah spoke of him. "Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Behold, the man whose name is the branch, a title of Messiah, shall grow up out of his place, and he shall be a priest upon his throne." The second time Melchizedek's name appears is to declare here in Psalm 110 to the Messiah, the Son of God, "Thou art a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek." The third occurrence of the name Melchizedek is in the book of the Hebrews, chapters 5 through 7. Melchizedek's priesthood is declared superior to Aaron's, since the sons of Levi paid tithes through Abraham to Melchizedek. In addition, the Aaronic priesthood was temporary, while the Melchizedek priesthood was permanent. The Aaronic priests were many, as they could not continue because of death. But this man, the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, while as far as royalty is concerned, he is from the tribe of Judah. Thus, he is king, priest, forever. The concluding verses of Psalm 110 present the Messiah as judge and victor over all foes. He will shatter kings in the day of his wrath. He will judge among nations. The priest-king, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, is the key to history. He alone can right the wrongs of nations. He alone can restore Israel. And he alone is able to save to the uttermost, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession. Will you trust him and come to know the author of eternal salvation?
And now, may the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you and give you peace. Shalom.